This is Express FM.
Supported by Portsmouth College.
We are passionately Pompey.
It is a new era at Fratton Park. There's a new man down there in the dugout. What a goal! Arnold Pack! A wonderful strike!
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
When you come from Portsmouth and live in Portsmouth, you grow up wanting to play for Portsmouth. If I can lead the boys to success and lead the team out, that would be a real dream come true.
Action and reaction.
Such a massive club. I'm so happy to be a part of this journey and hopefully get this club to the next level and where it wants to be.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
That's what makes this football club so special is the fans. I'm not a Portsmouth fan, but I'm an adopted one now. I love this football club.
This is the Football Hour.
Fans' interest in this division peaked a long time ago and it's stagnating. We've got to get out of this division and into the Championship.
Paddy's in the right lane as Pompey maintain their position at the top of League One, leaving Wigan Athletic tickled pink at the DW Stadium.
Headed back into the middle, Pack's there, the volley's goalwards and it's in! It's Paddy Lane, it's the third goal in a row! A left-footed volley, I think it might have taken a deflection, but it's gone straight through Sam Tickle. Wigan 1, Portsmouth 2, Paddy Lane on the score sheet again.
On the show tonight, we'll be hearing from the winger who now has 3 goals in his last 3 games. The Northern Irishman has been talking about the spirit in the dressing room after the Blues made it 21 league games without defeat at the weekend.
It's such a great group. I think even if worst comes to worst, we'd have come up here and got a narrow defeat, the mood's always going to be the same. We're not going to want to get too carried away. We all know what the aim is. We're a good group of lads. We get on really well with each other.
A full assessment of Saturday's 2-1 victory over the Latics to come before 7, as well as a reveal into who's been lucky enough to win a copy of the new Pompey 125 book. We'll announce tonight's winner and hear from a few of those who have been heavily involved in putting the publication together. Pompey fan and graphic designer Ennis Hampton discusses his pride in being asked to be part of a project.
It's been a labour of love, I think, working with Colin and all the authors. It's been an incredible effort from all, and yeah, I think it's going to live long in the history of the club, and it represents the club in such a special way, and yeah, it's been a dream come true, really.
We'll also catch up with one of the 5 authors tasked with putting this book together, club supporters liaison officer Johnny Moore.
It's quite proud to see how it's grown, how it's become the printed version and now going on sale. I was just one little piece of the book, so massive credit to all of them.
And of course, before 7 o'clock this evening, we'll not only be reviewing Saturday's action at Wigan, but also looking ahead to tomorrow's visit of Wickham Wanderers to Fratton Park. Head coach John Messino will be on the show.
We've always known that Paddy's had the potential to put these sort of runs together, and his performances are the most important thing for us. We have really, really been encouraging him to try and get in the box and score more goals, and a lot of work's been put into that from the coaching staff in particular.
Plenty coming your way, so stay right where you are and stick with us here on 93.7 Express FM. A very good evening and welcome to the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour on Express FM.
A very good evening. Welcome to the Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM. Driven to you as ever by Stagecoach across the South, getting you from A to B across Hampshire and through the South Coast with a minimum of fuss. Head to stagecoachbus.com for more information on the services they can provide in your area. So as you just heard in that intro there, we've got plenty coming up over the course of the next now 54 minutes here on the Football Hour. We'll be discussing Saturday's victory over Wigan Athletic for Pompey. That is now 10 league matches this season played, 10 unbeaten. Top of the table remain the Blues, and extending that unbeaten run to 21 league matches if you were stretching back to last season as well. But last time John Messino's side tasted defeat in League One was back in March. We'll be talking about all of that. We're going to hear from the likes of Paddy Lane, John Messino himself as well, Johnny Moore, Ennis Hampton between now and 7 o'clock, and we'll also be revealing who has won a copy of the new Pompey 125 book. That's right, we've been running this competition on the Football Hour for the past week. It's a fantastic prize. We've got it here in the studio with us. It is very, very heavy as well. It's gone on sale today. It was officially launched earlier this afternoon at the club's training ground, which is why we spoke to the likes of Ellis Hampton and Johnny Moore in regards to that as well. And later this evening, we will be revealing who has got their hands on a copy of the book. And you have got around about 10 minutes to get the final entries in. If you haven't done so already, text EXPRESSWIN125 to 81400, followed, of course, by your name, so we know who you are, who's entered the competition. That's EXPRESSWIN125 to 81400. You have just under 10 minutes. Quarter past six is when we will be closing the entries for that one. So any last entries, you've got just under 10 minutes to do so. That is to win a copy of the Pompey 125 book. It is now on sale at certain bookstores. We're going to come and talk about all of that later on as well, in case you aren't fortunate enough to get your hands on this copy and this fantastic giveaway. Once again, a big thank you to the Pompey History Society and Colin Farmery for providing us this opportunity to give away the book. Right, before any of that, and before we do announce who's won that copy of the book, let's remind ourselves of how Pompey retained their position at the top of the Skybet League One table on Saturday afternoon.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He scored!
This is...
You want to believe it?
Pompey Live.
The referee puts his whistle to his lips and signals the game to begin, and Wigan immediately play it back into their defensive line, and then the right back position at the moment. White midway through inside the Wigan half. Asgard tries to knock it around the defender. It might come through right inside of the box. Asgard still. It's taken over. The referee waves away the penalty protest. Pack brings the ball away. Asgard went down there looking for the penalty. A lot of the Wigan players and the crowd ask the question. Reckitt brings the ball up towards the halfway line, plays it to White, who lovely back heel, and then it's headed on. That's lovely play from Wigan. Left-hand side of the box is Goddo attacking Rafferty. Goddo onto his right foot, gets the shot away and finds the bottom corner. It's a brilliant finish from Martial Goddo, whose knee slides away to the left. Just cut inside of Joe Rafferty, rolled it with his right foot into the far corner. 27 minutes gone, Wigan Athletic take the lead against Portsmouth, 1-0, it's Martial Goddo. It's going to be a corner then from the far side, the in-swinger, left-footed corner from the Sparks. Swings it in towards the penalty spot, Bishop the target, is headed down and it's in! Pompey have equalised. Shocknessy, I think, got the last touch. Regan Paul wheeling away to celebrate in front of the away crowd. That didn't take long, did it? Pompey back on level terms. It was flicked on initially by Colby Bishop, right into a cluster of bodies. I think Regan Paul's taking the plaudits. It will be his third of the season if it's him. And Pompey right back into this game, back on level terms. Wigan 1, Pompey 1. Headed back into the middle. Pax there. The volley's goalwards and it's in! It's Paddy Lane. It's the third goal in a row for Paddy Lane. And the away crowd goes wild. A left-footed volley. I think he might have taken a deflection. But it's gone straight through Sam Tickle. It's taken Pompey 6 minutes, but they've scored twice. And it's the turnaround they've been looking for. Wigan 1, Portsmouth 2, Paddy Lane on the score sheet again. Lane, oh, it's a sliding tackle from White. He could be in trouble here. Went in high on Marlon Pack. The referee's calling him over. That wasn't a pretty tackle. White checking that Pack's okay. He's reaching for his pocket, and it is red card. It's a red card for Charlie White. He's sent off. It was a poor tackle in truth. And minutes into the second half, it's got a bad afternoon. It's just got worse for Wigan. Robertson onto his right foot, might open up for the shot, and does, and it's tipped wide of the post brilliantly by Sam Tickle. Pompey corner, I thought that was all the world going to beat Tickle at his far post and go into the corner. Brilliant play from Robertson to work the shot. And the full-time whistle goes. Pompey have done everything they can to earn that. It's finished here at the DW. Wigan 1, Pompey 2.
Every second of the action is right here. Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Pompey there then, 2-1 victors over Wigan Athletic at the DW Stadium at the weekend. Then elsewhere in League One, Barnsley defeated by a goal to nil at home to Blackpool. Derby County were held to a goalless draw at home to Cambridge United. Exeter City suffered a 2-0 defeat on home turf to Northampton Town. Elsewhere, it finished Fleetwood Town 1, Leyton Orient 0, Lincoln City 2, Cheltenham Town 0, Peterborough 2, Bristol Rovers 0, Port Vale 0, Bolton Wanderers 1, Reading 0, Burton 0, as was Shrewsbury Town and Charlton Athletic goalless fare as well. Stevenage 1, Oxford United 3, Wickham Wanderers, tomorrow's opponents Fratton Park 2-0 victors over Carlisle United at Adams Park on Saturday afternoon. Then Pompey remain top of the Skybet League One table, 22 points accumulated so far this season from 10 matches played. That's 6 wins four draws and still zero defeats. A goal difference of plus 10. Likewise, do Oxford United have a goal difference of plus 10, but they have 21 points on the board. Seven wins and two defeats in nine games for them. They, of course, have that match in hand over the Blues. Down at the bottom, Cheltenham Town rooted to the very bottom of the table with just 1 point after 10 games. That point, funnily enough, against unbeaten league leaders Pompey at Fratton Park towards the start of the campaign. Fleetwood, Wigan Athletic and Reading make up the remainder of the sides in the relegation zone as things stand. Looking up into the playoffs as well, sorry, I forgot to mention that. Stevenage, Bolton, Peterborough and Saturday's opposition at Fratton Port Vale. Right. Let's welcome in my two guests for tonight's conversation then. First and foremost, a very good evening to Mr. Mark McGee joining us over the phone lines this evening. Mark, good evening, pal. Oh, we thought Mark was there. Mark is there. He's somewhere. We'll try and get him to answer as soon as possible. In the studio with us tonight as well, we do have Brooke Smedley. Brooke, you should be there because you're right opposite me and quite frankly, there would be something wrong if I couldn't hear. Brooke, good evening.
Good evening, Jake.
Back to Saturday, Brooke, then. Look, 2-1 victory over Wigan Athletic. 10th game this season that was for Pompey. Still unbeaten. Still top of the table. Where do we go from here? Was that the kind of September you were expecting after that tough run of fixtures?
Well, I certainly wouldn't have imagined coming out of September after that run of fixtures being unbeaten. I would have taken two wins maybe out of that. It was definitely when the fixtures was released, you was looking at it and going, yeah, that's where you're going to cause a bit of trouble for yourself, aren't you?
I believe Mark is there. Mark, good evening.
Hi, Jake. How are you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You're all good, mate. You're all good. Yeah, good evening, Mark. Welcome to the show. We just mentioned there Pompey 2-1 victors over Wigan Athletic on Saturday. And one key real takeaway from that match, Mark, was the fact that it was an eighth time this season, and bear in mind we've only played 10 league matches, an eighth time this season Pompey have gone behind and taken a result out of a game. Out of those eight matches, four have been victories, four have transpired into draws. Does that really show you the kind of the grit and the never-say-die attitude that this team's got at the moment?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think this season we've definitely seen a big improvement in our ability to grind out results. I think a lot of that's down to... I think a lot of it's down to defensive confidence, to be honest. And I think we're able to build from the back, and I think we're able to play the way that we've always wanted to play. I think, to be honest, this is going to sound really, really harsh, but I think it goes down to just having a better quality of player, and that starts from the back, and it's going throughout the whole team and the core, really.
21 league games unbeaten now for Pompey, Brooke, as we mentioned in the introduction to the show, last defeated back in March. Of course, it's a new club record. That was smashed around about five or six games ago. John Massino's kept that record and is extending it week by week. Does this indicate to you that Pompey are just, they are becoming that really difficult side but no one else at the moment wants to play?
You'd certainly hope so, wouldn't you? I think they're, for any opposition that we're coming up against, they're going to be looking at it going, it's going to be a tough game. Usually it's when we're at home, you know, you see teams how they come, they set up, they come for a draw. Now teams are doing the same when they're at home. So it's certainly nice to be that Pompey for a change.
It really is. 81400 is our text number. If you'd like to have your say on the show this evening, make Express your first word and include your name and your message after that as well. You can email sport@expressfm.com, tweet using @expressfm, visit facebook.com/Pompey Live, or download and get in touch via the brand new ExpressFM app. You can leave us a message or even a voice note as well, where we just tick past 6:15. That means the lines are now closed. If you've not entered the competition to win the brand new Pompey 125 history book, then I'm afraid it is now too late. The lines have now closed and we will be revealing the winner of that competition in part two of tonight's show. So very, very shortly we'll be announcing who's got their hands on a copy of today's launched Pompey 125 book. But before we get to any of that, let's get more reaction from Saturday's win at DW Stadium. Paddy Lane spoke to Max Swatton after the full-time whistle.
Well, Paddy, how did you find that, mate?
Yeah, obviously it's good to come up north again, get 3 points and again top of the league. Can't be happier.
Talk us through your goal.
To be fair, it's just, you know, I've been working on getting in positions with Zesh and the gaffer and John, and the ball's got come across and it's taken a couple of deflections and it just fell to me nice, and luckily I put it away again.
Yeah, I was talking to Zesh off camera a minute ago. He said about the individual work you've been doing with him. Just go into that into a bit more detail, and how pleasing is it to see that come off as well?
Yeah, you know, Zesh and Zesh, the gaffer, and John, they work really hard with everyone week in, week out, and especially in them individual sessions with Zesh, we work on getting myself in them positions, and when I put myself in them positions, I trust myself to put it in the back of the net.
That's three games, three goals for you. What do you put your current form down to?
Just that confidence, and you know, we've got such a great group of lads in there. We all believe in each other, and again, it's just, you know, sort of fell to me again, and you know, put it in the back of the net, and to do it in front of them fans again was a special feeling.
Yeah, let's delve into that a little bit more. You said you had some mates in the away end as well. How nice is it to see them celebrating when you scored your goal?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's what you dream of as a kid, and you know, they'll be buzzing off it just as I am, and my family was there again. So, yeah, it was superb, and you know, you can't match the feeling. But again, I won't be in them positions without the rest of the team on there, and you know, we're just glad to get 3 points down the road.
Yeah, you've sort of really come into your own on that right-hand side so far this season. How are you finding it working with Joe Rafferty as well, who's behind you?
Yeah, great. Even, you know, like, him and Pax on that side helped me out massively in terms of positioning, and it's superb to be able to have two such experienced players behind me. And, you know, we get on really well in the dressing rooms, and I think it shows on the pitch as well, even defensively and attackingly.
What did John say at half-time? Must have been sort of quite a difficult one. You've gone into the lead, and you don't want to get too carried away.
Yeah, it's, you know, the gaffer always has tactical messages for us. There's always stuff we can be doing better. Even after Barnsley 3-0 up in the first half, there's always stuff that we can work on to become a better team. And it was just sort of tactical stuff, and, you know, don't take your foot off the gas. And, you know, they had the red card early in the second half, which helped us. But, it was a good performance throughout.
Yeah, how did you find that second half? You played sort of 15, sort of 20 minutes of it. You had to sit on that 2-1 lead. How did you cope with it?
Yeah, you know, the second half, I think everyone dug in, and you know, sometimes games like that could get ugly, and you know, we could end up sitting in. But I think, you know, most of the half, I don't think we did, apart from the last maybe 5-10 minutes. But yeah, I'd done 20 minutes second half, and to be fair, you know, I was blowing, but you know, we've had three tough games now, but it's buzzing for Tuesday.
What's the mood like in the dressing room after that one?
As you can imagine, again, you know, I got asked this question last week as well, and it's such a great group. I think even if, you know, worst comes to worst, we'd have come up here and got a narrow defeat, the mood's always going to be the same. We don't want to get too carried away. We all know what the aim is, and we're a good group of lads. We get on really well with each other, and it's good mood in there.
That marks the end of the month today. That's all our games done in September. How do you reflect on it overall?
To be fair, they just come so thick and fast. You don't even think about it like that. They're just Saturday, Tuesday. This week was the first week where I think we've had a bit of time to actually come off it and look properly tactically into Wigan. And as you can see, we've come out on top. Great month for us. You know, we want to stay up there, and that's it.
And just finally, a message for the fans after, you know, the 1,500 will be on their way back to the South Coast in a good mood today.
Yeah, well, you know, they speak for themselves. They follow us in their numbers every week at home. It's a dream come true scoring in front of them, and, you know, getting 3 points at the end there. You know, we could see how buzzing we all were. And yeah, just I'm glad for them, and I'm glad for the team in there as well.
Paddy Lane there with his third goal in as many matches on Saturday afternoon to help Pompey to a 2-1 victory over Wigan Athletic at the DW Stadium. We're going to come on and talk about that interview, Paddy Lane himself, and more on Saturday's game very, very shortly. But we're off for a quick breather now, and when we come back, we will be revealing the winner of our big giveaway. We've been giving you the chance to win a limited edition copy of the brand new Pompey 125 book, which launched and went on sale to selected bookstores today. Well, thanks to Colin Farmery and the Pompey History Society, we've had the opportunity to give away this fantastic prize over the past week or so. However, entries, as I mentioned earlier, are now closed. Thank you to everybody who has got involved. We've had plenty of texts come in, but unfortunately, only one will become the lucky recipient of this publication. If you have not yet entered, I'm afraid it is now too late. Please do not enter. The deadline has now passed, but you may still be charged. The winner is coming up very, very shortly. After the break, we'll also hear from one of the five authors of the book, Johnny Moore. He's been speaking to us about how he felt researching and putting his knowledge to paper to help create the publication.
It was really therapeutic for me because people described us as the font of all knowledge, but actually I learned quite a lot as well going back and seeing some of the things that happened. We always describe the club's golden years as the 50s, but a lot of the 50s, you know, God help us if Twitter had been around, because it wasn't all milk and honey.
Hear that interview in full, as well as more from Mark and Brooke, when the Football Hour returns after a short break.
This is the Football Hour on Express FM.
Whether you're out with your mates, catching the latest blockbuster, or just enjoying late-night bus rides, from 7pm every day, you can take advantage of a Knight Rider ticket, taking you from A to B and everywhere in between. Simply purchase your Knight Rider ticket on the bus or using the Stagecoach app to get unlimited travel anywhere on the whole of the Stagecoach South for just £2.50. The world is your oyster. Visit stagecoachbus.com for timetable and ticket information.
This is the Football Hour on Express FM.
Yes, very good evening. Welcome back to part two of tonight's edition of the Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM, driven to you as ever by our good friends over at Stagecoach across the South. You can download their app right now from the Apple App or Google Play Store. You can track your local buses, you can view latest timetables, up-to-date information on traffic as well, and even prepay for your ticket. Right, over the next few minutes or so, we'll be revealing who's won a copy of the Pompey 125 book, the official history Portsmouth Football Club celebrating 125 years. Early today, the official launch was held at the club's training ground. Special copies were presented to head coach John Messino and club captain Marlon Pack as well by former goalkeeper and legend, of course, Alan Knight, MBE. There were also plenty of authors in attendance, including the likes of Neil Allen, Mick Comben and Johnny Moore as well, including the editor and lead of the Pompey History Society, Colin Farmery as well. This is a limited edition copy of the book. It's actually the first time such a publication has been attempted in 25 years, so it is the most up-to-date. Just really cooperation of everything you could possibly want to know about Portsmouth Football Club. It is truly fantastic. Plenty of stories in there from over the course of the last 125 years. Stats pages as well, financial history into every single season of the football club. And that could be very interesting as well. There have been more than 1,000 copies already sold to subscribers in pre-orders, and they were distributed last week. The rest are now on sale on a first-come, first-served basis, priced at £40 with standard edition. You can find these copies, if there are any available, they went on sale early this morning, in the Pompey store in Anson Road and selected bookstores in Portsmouth as well, including New To You Books in Cosham on Cosham High Street, Pigeon Books in Albert Road, and the bookshop at the Portsmouth City Museum. Of course, that is in Museum Road. Right, before we announce tonight's big winner, let's hear from a couple of very influential people tasked with putting this publication together. First of all, earlier today I spoke to avid Blues supporter and graphic designer Ellis Hampton. Joined now by Ellis Hampton, designer of the book. Ellis, fantastic launch day, now on the shelves, although very limited available now. How did it feel to design this book as a Pompey fan yourself as well?
It's been a labour of love, I think, working with Colin and all the authors. It's been an incredible effort from all. So I mentioned Andy Sanders and Tom Shave as well at the graphic design house. I think we've really pulled together something special, and I think it's going to live long in the history of the club, and I think it's especially seen on the photos and especially all the stats pages, it represents the club in such a special way, and it's been a dream come true, really, so just for my career and as a fan as well. It's been really special.
And it's one thing, obviously, to have authors writing the book, editors, publishers and whatnot, but what can go unnoticed is the person behind actually designing the front cover, the back cover, as you mentioned, throughout the pages in the book as well. So important to tell the history of Portsmouth Football Club, not just through words, but through images and through design as well. A really integral part of the project.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say I think you can see the journey throughout the history, and I think representing that through design and showcasing it in the best light possible has been something we've worked on for quite a while, and I think we've done a tremendous job in getting it together in such a special way. But I think it's great. I think I'm really happy with how it turned out, and very proud with the overall look and feel, and hope people like it.
Yeah, really, really proud opportunity for Blues supporter Ellis Hampton, tasked with being the graphic designer for this book. And also earlier today, I spoke to one of the five authors who have put together this this really amazing publication. Johnny Moore, the current club supporters liaison officer at Portsmouth Football Club. Again, I spoke to him at the training ground earlier this afternoon. With now the supporters liaison officer, Johnny Moore. Johnny, you've covered a vast era of Pompey's fantastic and quite wild history in this book. How was it to be involved in, obviously, for research and putting your knowledge to paper to put that down to the book?
Well, at the time, it was just another project, but now looking back on it, you know, it's quite proud to see how it's grown, how it's become the printed version, and you know, now going on sale. So, yeah, it was just another project at the time for 6 months, and now it's sort of grown into what it is.
And it's taken off fantastically, over 1,000 pre-order sales as well, subscribers edition. We've had the launch here this afternoon. Just a couple of hundred copies remain on sale in the stores. They've gone out to respectively today. Did you expect it to take off this much, or was it really in no real doubt that the power of Pompey fans would latch onto this and really support it in the way they have?
Yeah, I think you've got it right. Second time, yeah. It's the power of the Pompey fans, I think, you know. You sell a painting with Portsmouth FC on it, probably sell out. So, you know, something as magnificent as this, you know, I was total no-brainer.
What was the biggest challenge for you going back, recasting these years? It was between, just remind us what years you covered.
1946 to 73. Yeah. So the last bit, 67 to 73, was relatively easy because that's when I sort of came in. It was all going back to years 46 and all the rest of it. But you know what? It was really therapeutic for me because, you know, people described us as the font of all knowledge, but actually I learned quite a lot as well going back, you know, and seeing some of the things that happened. We always describe the club's golden years as the 50s, but a lot of the 50s, you know, God help us if Twitter had been around, because, like, you know, it wasn't all milk and honey. So, you know, I learned a lot, and it was great. And then there were characters like Eddie Lever, who was a teacher at school when I got there, at secondary school. And there was Jimmy Dickinson I met in 1973. So a lot of the characters you could actually bring to life.
Yeah. And that is the true spirit of the book, isn't it? It's bringing to life, not just in words, but we've just spoken to Ellis Hampton, the designer of the book as well, and the photographers who have allowed their work to be published into the copy as well. So, you know, obviously your words and the words of Neil Allen and the five authors that have been involved in this, but how important is it to have these pictures brought to life and in recasting Pompey's history?
Well, it's great, and I love seeing the old black and white photographs colourised, because it makes them completely different, like going from a black and white television to a colour television. So, you know, it was really great. And, you know, I was just one little piece of the book. So massive credit to all of them.
Yeah, a big thank you to, once again, Colin Farmery and the likes of Johnny Moore and Ellis Hampton for providing us their thoughts on the release of the official history of Portsmouth Football Club celebrating 125 years. The book is now on sale. Just a few hundred remain, of course. Only 1,898 copies were originally produced, to chime in with the year the football club was, of course, formed in 1898. Right, it is now time to reveal who has won a copy of this fantastic book. We've been giving you the opportunity over the course of the last 7 days here on Express FM to get in touch with us, texting the words Express Win 125 to 81400. Of course, entries are now closed. We've had over 45 entrants, so a massive, massive thank you to all of our listeners and to everyone who got in touch in to try and secure this prize. It's been very, very hot, as you can imagine. If you haven't been successful, you can, of course, buy the book for £40 now on sale. But do act fast. There are only a couple of hundred remaining. And as far as I'm aware, there won't be any more produced. £40, you can go to the Pompey store on Anson Road, New To You Books in Cosham, Pigeon Books on Albert Road, and the Portsmouth City Museum in Museum Road. And I can reveal the winner is Rachel C. Rachel C, thank you very, very, very much for entering the competition, and congratulations, you've won yourself a copy of the official Pompey 125 book. Rachel C, we will be in touch later this evening to discuss how we can give that to you and how we can get that to you But a massive congratulations once again to Rachel C for winning that one. And commiserations to, of course, everybody else who entered. Thank you very, very much for doing so. It's been a fantastically run competition. And, yeah, hopefully we can do that more often. That was fun, wasn't it? Very, very fun. Congratulations to Rachel. Right, it is time now to bring back my two guests for this evening's conversation. They've been waiting very, very patiently. Brooke alongside us this evening. Brooke, first of all, before we come on to talk about the football again, this Pompey 125 book, it's here in the studio.
It's a big book.
It is big, isn't it? You held it, you had a quick look through it. Yeah, just talk to us about how really important during a 125th anniversary season to see that and the hard work and the effort that's gone into it. It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at it from the front cover, you can see the quality's been put into the what's been published. I even said to you obviously before, I certainly wasn't expecting it to be as big as it was. You wouldn't want to drop it on your toe. But yeah, it's had a little flick through. It's definitely something that's going to keep you entertained, and like Johnny said, you're going to learn so much from going through it.
And even if you are the biggest of Pompey fans in the world and you think you know everything about the football club, you don't, because there is so much in there. It is quite literally everything you could wish to know about the Blues over the course of the last 125 years. And yeah, very, very heavy, because I had to cycle all the way from the training grounds up in Copner to Southsea, where we are based, with two of those copies in my rucksack on a bike, and that was painful but worth it, because it's a fantastic book. Right, back on to the football now. Mark McGee also alongside us tonight. Mark, before the break we heard from Paddy Lane speaking about his goal on Saturday and his involvement within the squad this season so far. What have you made of his sort of development under John Messina this campaign?
Yeah, I think it's really good to see him finally get a run of games. I think even last season when we signed him, it was a bit stop-start for him. And I think for someone like that, who's, you know, first of all been out of the team at Fleetwood, and then he's come to us and he's had a few niggles and a few injuries, and now he's finally getting a good run of games. And I think, you know, three goals in three games, great return. But I think we all sort of had an idea that he might be a player that we can rely on in terms of creativity and goals, and now I'm finally starting to see it. And I think this is the first time I've really seen him, and I thought he's match fit and he actually looks quite confident. I think last season and the beginning of this season he was lacking that a little bit. So I think, you know, we knew there was a player in there. I mean he scored an absolute worldie against us when he was at Fleetwood. So now I think we're just reaping the rewards of a full pre-season and a fully fit and confident young lad.
And speaking to John Messina at the training ground earlier, Brooke, someone we're going to hear from in the next part of the show, of course, previewing tomorrow's game against Wickham, speaks about the likes of Paddy Lane, Abu Kamara as well as Jack Sparks too. In fact, actually, a fun fact before we do move on to that, Abu Kamara and Jack Sparks, the only two players who have featured in every game this season, all competitions, not necessarily starting, but they have featured in every single match in all competitions. So Jack Sparks, Abby Camara, that took me by a bit of surprise. But just speaking about these kind of players and the kind of influence they've had on this team, particularly over the last few weeks, and with all due respect, they're not necessarily players, but in the summer transfer window you would have maybe expected to have as much of an impact as they have, Brooke, but they certainly have.
Yeah, I mean, you can see how we've had a shift in sort of how we want to mould our transfers and how we want to mould the team. We've sort of moved on from that age of going for a big name signing, you know, like a John Markey and Ellis Harrison, Marcus Harness. And it's more just getting players that fit right for the team. I mean, even not on the pitch, Christian Sadie he's an unbelievable character to have around the team. You can just see the effect he has on everyone else. I think there was a clip that went up the other day. Every single player that stepped foot on that pitch on last Saturday, he was made sure he gave him a, you know, high five, get on, go, good train. It's great, and it's really good to see.
And as Brooks alluded to there, Mark, it's not necessarily the tactical nous, albeit it is there as well, the skill and the quality and beside it, it is there. With, you know, it's clear to see over the last 2 months or so since the start of the campaign. But as Brooks alluded to, Mark, it is also down very much so to the team cohesion, the spirit around the camp at the moment, because that is also what is lifting this club to victories and also pulling them straight off the ground when they do suffer the setbacks as they have early on in games this campaign so far.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's right. I think it's good having the players there. I think the players that we've got right now, I think there's a belief in their quality. I think a lot of the players in our team know the level they're at. They have a lot of self-confidence, and I think that breeds a really good atmosphere in the team. You know, we've signed players in the summer. Okay, yeah, they're not names like you mentioned, but they're established players, and the business has been really smart and clever. And I think they all know that they're there for a reason. They've been cherry picked, and I think that just breeds a really good positive environment.
Yeah, and looking back at Saturday, of course, we're going to preview tomorrow's game in the next part of the show, Brooke. But Regan Poole with another goal this season. Conor Shocknessy, if you look back at the highlights, wasn't too impressed by it. It was his initial header that had sort of come off of Regan Poole and gone into the back of the net. Very fortunate for Regan, but nonetheless, it's another goal for him. Two in a row now, I believe, for Regan Poole. Not just having the impact of the back, but also in front of goal as well.
He shouldn't be in this league, should he?
No.
He's a class above most other players in this league. And I think it was like Mark alluded to earlier, it's good having a back four now that you can trust on the ball. I think that's what we lacked, and that's what we tried to sort of move our sort of patterns into over the last year or so. And when Mussinho come in, is having that comfortable back two that can then get the phase of play started. And I mean there are times where you hear little moans and groans because the direct pass isn't being played, but it's the system that's working, and we need to just enjoy it while it's there.
And of course, one really big talking point from the weekend, Mark, happened very shortly into the second half of the match at the DW Stadium. A red card shown to Wigan Athletic's Charlie Wyke, of course a massive threat up top for any side in this division, but he was sent off straight red following quite a reckless challenge on Marlon Pack. He came off 12 minutes later. Mark, we don't fully know the extent of Marlon's injury as of yet. Well, we're going to hear partially from John Messino coming up, but assuming he's out of tomorrow's game against Wickham, Mark, who would you like to see come in to replace Marlon?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think his position in particular is a very tough void to fill. I think that might pose us with our first challenge. I think his range of passing and his just overall like presence on the pitch is something that will be missed more than just his all-round technical ability. I mean, we've got Ben Stevenson, we've got a depth of midfielders to choose from. Well, we did, but I mean, you know, we're lacking Tom Lowry now as well. I mean, if it was me, this is a bold claim. I know our defence has been solid, and this might be the wrong decision, but you know, I would normally go with Ben Stevenson, but something maybe like moving Shaughnessy in there, and then maybe providing Towler or Raggett with an opportunity at the back. It's a tough one. It's an injury that we didn't want to get, but we've got to deal with.
Brooke, of course, we normally touch upon the actual incident itself, but I don't think we really need to. Charlie Wyke at the reckless, it was a straight red. there's no beating around the bush with that.
There was some argument that it could have been a yellow, and I think there would have been some referees that would have given it as a yellow, but ultimately it is the recklessness and putting the opposition player in danger that is what caused it.
Yeah, and I could see you thinking about what Mark was saying there in regards to maybe who comes in to replace Marlon Pack. We assume he's going to be out tomorrow because it didn't look great, and of course limping off 10 minutes or so later. If that's a possibility for John Messina to explore tomorrow evening, how are you lining up in midfield?
I would do how we sort of lined up following from Pack coming off the pitch. I think you'll see Robertson drop down into that middle with Joe Morrell, and then you'll see Christian Sadie fill in the hole. I mean, I'd like to see Andrew in, but I don't think he's fully up to fitness yet. I remember John saying about a week back, so it's still going to be a good 3-4 weeks before we see him starting games.
And speaking of John Messino, we'll be hearing from the Blues boss in the next part of the show. But Gaff has been talking to us about the desire to, of course, enjoy this incredible run of form, but also not get too ahead of ourselves.
The trick to trying to sustain any sort of success is making sure that you are fully prepared for the next game, because the schedule at this level means that you don't have long to enjoy the wins, but then also doing exactly that. So enjoying the wins, they're really hard to come by. An away win at any level in this league with competitive sides like Wigan, who have just come down down from the Championship last year. That's a tough thing to do, so we've got to make sure we enjoy it. And also we've got to make sure that we take the momentum into the next game.
Stay tuned. The Football Hour returns for its conclusion next.
This is the Football Hour on Express FM.
We know entertaining the kids can be tricky at the best of times. That's why Stagecoach is here to help. During the school holidays, up to four people, maximum of two adults, can travel with our Portsmouth Group Day Rider for just £5. So that's your travel sorted. Now you just need to decide what to do when you get there. Special offer tickets are only available from the driver. Cash and contactless payments accepted. Leave the car at home and enjoy a day out by bus. For more information, visit stagecoachbus.com.
This is the Football Hour on Express FM.
Welcome back for the final time tonight to the Football Hour here on Express FM, brought to you by Stagecoach across the South. Right, time is really eluding us this evening, so let's waste no more of it and head straight into the preview of the Blues' next League One encounter. Wickham Wanderers provide the opponents for matchday number 11 at Fratton Park tomorrow evening, and Kirsty Roxanne has more on the Chairboys.
After coming back from a goal down yet again to win 2-1 at the DW Stadium on Saturday, the Blues are looking comfortable so far this campaign. Back for a midweek feature under the lights, the next opponent is Wickham Wanderers.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The Blues remain top of the table after their away win against Wigan at the weekend, a result which also extended their unbeaten run to 21 league games. Now let's take a closer look at Wickham, the team that are travelling down south to take on the Blues.
Manager.
Former midfielder Matthew Bloomfield is at the helm for the Chairboys. Bloomfield started his career as a trainee with Ipswich Town and was scouted by Newcastle United before going on to represent England at under-18, under-19 and under-20 levels. However, after only appearing once for Ipswich first team, Bloomfield made his senior debut in 2003 when he joined Wickham Wanderers on a free transfer. The now 39-year-old spent 19 years with Wickham, playing for the club in League One, League Two and Championship. At the start of the 2021-22 season, Bloomfield's final one with the club as a player, he was given additional responsibility of first-team coach. Bloomfield was appointed head coach of League Two outfit Colchester United last September, with the side struggling at the foot of the division. He was soon given the League Two Manager of the Month award after he oversaw Colchester gain 13 points from six matches. Following the departure of long-term manager Gareth Ainsworth to Queen's Park Rangers, Bloomfield returned to Wickham and was appointed manager in February of this year.
One to watch.
Our one to watch this time around is Luke Leahy. Leahy, who plays as a defender or midfielder for Wickham, signed a three-year contract with the club in July. The Chairboys' number 10 has previously played for Bristol Rovers, where he made 70 appearances over 2 years and scored 8 goals, as well as Shrewsbury Town, with whom he made 101 appearances and scored 21 goals. Leahy has so far been in the starting 11 for all 9 league games played by Wickham so far this season, scoring 1 goal and assisting 3 others in the process.
Top scorer.
The Chairboys' top goal scorer is centre-back and Wales under-21 international Joe Lowe. The 21-year-old, who wears a number 17 shirt, started his professional career at Bristol City but only made one first-team appearance for the Robins before being shipped out on loan. Across his loan spells at Dorchester Town, Frome Town, Yate Town, Eastleigh and Walsall, he made a total of 42 senior appearances, scoring 3 goals. Lowe joined Wickham for an underclosed fee in 2023, making his debut in a Carabao Cup first-round win against MK Dons. He scored his first 2 goals for the club in August in their 3-2 win away at Leyton Orient.
Current form.
Wickham currently sit 9th in the table on 16 points, having played 9 games. The Chairboys have a game in hand on most sides around them. They started this campaign off with a 3-0 defeat at Adams Park against Exeter City on the opening day. Since then, the Chairboys have won 5 games, including a recent 2-1 victory over 10-men Carlisle United. They have also drawn 1 and been defeated 3 times. Wickham and Portsmouth have met 18 times in the past. The Blues have won 6, lost 5 and drawn 7 of those encounters. The last time these sides met, the scoreline ended 2-2 at Fratton Park in what was billed as a crucial game for both sides in their respective attempts to reach last season's playoffs. In 2022-23, the Blues finished 1 point ahead of Wickham, who finished on 69 points and 9th in the League One table. So can the Blues create a gap at the top of the division and secure another 3 points from this league game? All of the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
Thank you to Kirsty Roxanne for that in-depth analysis into Wickham Wanderers, of course, Brooke, no longer managed by Gareth Ainsworth. Do you still maybe expect a similar sort of kind of opposition tomorrow, that gritty, really difficult side to break down in Wickham? Do you think that kind of mentality is transferred into Matt Bloomfield's side?
I think it's coming from teams that are usually managed by ex-pros. Seem to follow that trend, don't they? They know how to get under the skin of other players. Maybe it's this new style of management. Maybe Gareth Ainsworth, a little bit of exaggeration on that point. But you see it slightly with Pompey. I mean, it sounds really silly, but on Saturday, not that I'm a huge fan of seeing it happen, but when the Wike incident happened, you see the players swarm the ref.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not the biggest fan of it, but if it gives you an advantage in a game, it gives you an advantage in a game.
Yeah,
I mean, they're a bogey team, aren't they? We seem to always struggle with them. And given the form they're on as well, they've lost one in the last seven.
One in the last seven as well. Very good form. Just outside of the playoff positions. Mark McGee also alongside us tonight. Mark, Wickham at home tomorrow. Just mentioning the kind of side they have been when they've come down to Fratton Park in recent seasons. Pompey, as we mentioned earlier in the show, eight times this season they've come back from losing positions, winning four of them, drawing the other four. And funnily enough, that comes after a two-year period of having never done that. Pompey could never recover from going behind in a match, and now they seem to be doing it week in, week out. Two home matches this week, Mark. Wickham tomorrow, Port Vale on Saturday. Just how important is that Fratton Faithful going to be for the side?
Yeah, it's going to be huge. It really is. And I think, you know, you hear it from the players week in, week out whenever they're asked about it. It genuinely does provide a massive lift. And it definitely has a mental impact, not only on them, but the opposition as well. And I think, to be honest, this season, the crowd has seemed a bit more on it. I think they've enjoyed watching the football a little bit more. And there's something special about Tuesday nights under the lights, isn't there? And you know what? I'm feeling confident. I mean, we may concede first, but these days we look like a resilient force who can withstand that sort of thing.
Linda Mail on the emails has got in touch saying, good result on Saturday gave us a very good September. Considering we thought it was going to be a tough month playing some very good teams, we achieved 13 points from a possible 15, and a lot was achieved from coming from behind, which showed very good team character. Let's hope we can continue to build on this with our next two home games. Hopefully, Marlon Pack is not injured and can help us continue this good run. Well, let's hear now from someone who can provide a little bit more clarity on that situation. Head coach John Messina. I caught up with him earlier today. John, another great win at the weekend and an eighth game this season where your side have come from behind to get a result. How much does that say about the mettle and the character within your side to not let their heads drop in these moments?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real positive that we've managed to come back from a couple of deficits, more than a couple of deficits now. And, you know, we haven't let our heads drop. We stayed calm, stuck to the plan. There's been no panic in terms of what we've done when we've gone a goal down. So it's been really good to see that. The other side of it is that we don't want to keep conceding goals and having to come back into games. That's something that it's not something we've had to actively work on, because I do look at the way that we started games recently and we've actually been better than we had earlier in the season, where I just thought we were a bit slow, a bit sluggish. We didn't really get going. The Leighton Orient game's a perfect example of that, where we could have found ourselves 1-0 down and we didn't, and we got away with it that day. So yeah, some real sort of positives from our end, considering particularly we go away to a tough side like Wigan at the weekend and go a goal down and come away with 3 points.
And as important as it is to relish and enjoy these moments when we can, how equally important is it to remain fully focused on the next game and the next game after that and so on?
Yeah, I think that's the trick to trying to sustain any sort of success, is making sure that you are fully prepared for the next game, because the schedule at this level means that you don't have long to enjoy the wins, but then also doing exactly that, so enjoying the wins. They're really hard to come by. An away win at any level in this league with competitive sides like Wigan, who have just come down from the Championship last year, that's a tough thing to do. So we've got to make sure we enjoy it, and also we've got to make sure that we take the momentum into the next game from that and build on the positives. So there's no point in saying, look, we've you know, there's nothing we can take from it. We can take a huge amount from the Wigan game into Wickham and beyond that. And yeah, real fine balance between getting too carried away but also not dumbing things down too much.
Another goal for Paddy Lane. That's 3-3 for him now. How has it been for you to watch him develop, and just how important is he to this team?
Yeah, I mean, brilliant in terms of what he's actually done since he's come to the football club and his development. And, you know, we've always known that Paddy's had the potential to put these sort of runs together, and his performances are the most important thing for us. We have really, really been encouraging him to try and get in the box and score more goals, and a lot of work's been put into that from the coaching staff in particular. And thankfully, we're seeing a bit of that now. With Paddy, He's a great character to have around the place. Really, really nice young lad. Huge amount of potential. And yeah, it's our job to try and to bring that out of him. But particularly towards the back end of the last season, I thought we saw the best of some of his performances. He took the heavy ankle injury in pre-season at AFC Wimbledon, and it took him a while to come back from that, and then in and out, I think, since then with a couple of league games, a couple of cup games, but obviously since he's coming back into the league side, he's been excellent.
On to injuries. Christian Sadie we saw back on Saturday. Marlon Pack coming off after the challenge early in the second half. What's the latest overall on the injury front?
Yeah, Christian, it was great to see him back, and you know he's going to be obviously a welcome addition coming back from that injury. We got to see him play a fair bit in the second half at the weekend, and obviously prior to that, the Peterborough game where he was probably man of the match. So it's great to have Christian back. Before we go on to, I suppose, the short-term ones, Cassini's been back in full training today. Really good news for him. That's sort of 6-7 weeks of really hard graft, and whether he's fit enough to be involved tomorrow or not, I don't know. We'll have a look at that tomorrow and see where we get with that. But at the very least, I think hopefully we'll see Cassini back by the weekend, but he's out there training. Longer term, Tom Lowry's been out on the grass, Josh Dockrell's progressing really well, and Anthony Scully's in for surgery tomorrow. So good news on all three of those fronts. Marlon has taken a heavy knock to the ankle on Saturday, obviously resulting in the red card, so he's touch and go for tomorrow. We're again going to reassess him in the morning and see what happens then, make a decision on the starting lineup after that.
So Wickham next up in midweek. What kind of challenge do you expect from them?
You know, they're a good side, and they've had, I think, a really good run of games now after what was a tricky start for them. And I think they've got themselves going full pre-season, obviously, under Matt Bloomfield. And, you know, he's made some excellent signings as well alongside some of the players that they've had there for a number of years. So we expect a really tough test. And, you know, they're a side that's just sitting just outside the playoffs at the moment, poised very nicely. Like I said, some excellent players and a very good young coach in Matt. So, yeah, I expect a really tough challenge.
And it's the first of two home fixtures in quick succession, with Port Vale travelling down on Saturday. How key will this week be for you, and what kind of role can the Pompey fans play in the attempt to keep up this run of form?
Yeah, I think it's as important as any other week, and it's just one of those where it just so happens to fall, unlike the other week where we had those really tough away games. It's fallen that we've got two home games this week against sides who are really up there and pushing for it. So in terms of the quality of opposition, it's there. We always enjoy playing games at home. Least of all because of the fans and the positivity around the place at the moment, which is brilliant. So, yeah, the message to the fans is, first of all, thank you for all the travel that you've done up and down the country over the past couple of weeks. It's probably nice for everybody to have a bit of respite and to have two home games. And, yeah, we're going to hear them in full voice. It's absolutely incredible. One thing that's been really noticeable is the fact that, as well as the players and everybody responded to going a goal down, the fans have been probably the top of the tree there, making sure that they're still behind the players. And, yeah, the more noise they make, the more difficult it is for Wickham and the better it is for us.
There we go, then. The pre-match thoughts of the head coach there, John Mussino. You're going to hear that interview again on Pompey Live tomorrow evening. And as you heard from the gaffer, make plenty of noise at Fratton Park if you are heading to the game. Pompey taking on Wickham Wanderers at PO4, and they really could do with your backing to help them over the line to what we really hope to be an 11th successive unbeaten league match this season to remain top of the League One table. Right, score prediction time. Steve on Facebook's going for a 2-1 Pompey win, and Paul on the emails is going for a 1-0 Pompey win, but I want to hear from the two studio guests this evening. First of all, Mark McGee, a very quick score prediction from you, please.
I'm going to go Pompey Classic 2-1.
Classic 2-1 Pompey win. Mark McGee, thank you very much for your contribution tonight. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Jake. I'll see you soon.
And to Brooks Medley as well. Score prediction, please, sir.
Got to be a 3-1 Pompey.
3-1 Pompey win. Brooks Medley, thank you very much for coming into the studio tonight. Pleasure as always to welcome you onto the show, and have a safe journey home.
Pleasure to be back. Thanks, Jake.
Right, Pompey Live returns with your next football fix. Midweek action underneath the floodlights at Fratton Park. Join us from 7 tomorrow.
All the unmissable action.
This is Pompey Live.
Portsmouth's good run of form continued on Saturday.
Headed back into the middle. Pack's there. The volley's goalwards and it's in. It's Paddy Lane. It's the third goal in a row.
Next up, they take on Wickham Wanderers in the first of three consecutive matches at Fratton Park. Join us for all of the unmissable action Tuesday evening from 7.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
That's right, myself and Robbie James returning tomorrow evening from 7 o'clock live from Fratton Park to provide full coverage of Portsmouth versus Wycombe Wanderers in Sky Bet League One. Can John Bassino's side retain their position at the top of the League One standings? Find out from 7 o'clock tomorrow. It is, of course, a 7.45 kickoff at PO4. So if you are heading to the game, wrap up warm. It's going to be a bit of a chilly one. And bring your voices as well. Let's get the Blues over the line to yet another victory. And who knows, maybe extend that unbeaten run to 22 league matches. What an achievement that would be, if it isn't already one. Right, coming up here on Express tonight, the Soft Rock Show with Jeff and Aid follows us after the news at 7. They'll be in conversation with Klaus from Ugly Kid Joe. And there's also new music from Logan J. Parker. Kevin Stokes returns with that 80s show from 9 through until 11 o'clock this evening, which is when Josh Bowness returns with Express Hits through to the early hours of Tuesday morning. And this week, we bring you a brand new lineup of shows here on Express FM. Head to expressfm.com/programs to find out the full brand new schedule. Some old faces returning, some new faces coming in to present some fantastic, exciting new shows. So do head over to our website to find out more information. On that, I'll see you tomorrow from 7. The Football Hour returns this Friday from 6. But until then, Pompey fans, thank you for listening. Stay safe and good night.